Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
And hey, we're back on a Wednesday morning, August the 19th, 2020, almost high school football season. Can you smell the grass and all the excitement that's going to be out there this coming fall, as we are now going to play high school sports, we think, according to Governor Mike DeWine yesterday. A little bit of housekeeping we have to get in, and I'm going to try to say it right this time. The women's suffrage movement led to women getting the right to vote, and yesterday, August the 18th, was the 100th anniversary of women getting the right to vote in this country. How about that? And who better to celebrate that with than Mary Ellen Withrow, 40th Treasurer of the United States, who will be in with us tomorrow morning live in studio from 8 until 9 a.m., and also talking about the speeches tonight at the Democratic National Convention, which will be the nomination of Senator Kamala Harris, Hillary Clinton, and Elizabeth Warren will be the speakers tonight. So that's going to be very, very interesting, and to get Mary Ellen's perspective on this whole virtual convention. Also, we've been doing a lot of Marianne trivia the last couple of weeks. Yesterday, talking about Barney Miller and his barbershop that was here in Marion for so many years. Barney passed away earlier this year. Got a message from Barney's wife yesterday, Lisa, who called to tell everybody thank you for the kind words that were said about Barney. She said it brought her brought tears to her eyes. So, Lisa, we're glad you're out there listening. Glad that made you happy. Barney was a good guy. I think that's echoed by everybody. And then, of course, today we're talking about sports in general, and who better to talk to than Sports Director Emeritus here in Marion, Jeff Ruth, 40 years at WMRN. Not Sports Director for 40 years, though, right?
83 is, I came in 79, and 83 is when Roger Fisher left. So 36 years.
And during the break, we were talking about the picadillos of the people in radio. I don't know. I wasn't what you describe it. But, you know, isn't it interesting? I remember when Charlie was here and we were doing his birthday show, and we talked about some people's picadillos. What makes certain radio people, I don't want to say nuts, because I don't think they're nuts. I just think they're, is it passionate? Is that the right word?
A few of them are wound too tight.
Wound too tight. That's exactly right. And there's something else I wanted to say, but we're going to get to that in a minute. Let's go to the phone lines. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, it's always great radio when Mr. Sports is on the air.
There's a good nickname.
I'll tell you, Mr. Sports. Hey, we were talking about baseball cutouts. I was listening to WLW radio over the weekend. They said the Reds, for $75, you send them a check and your picture, they will put you on a cutout in the stands for every home game the remainder of the year.
Really?
Yes. Now, I was thinking about that, and this morning I thought, hey, I know how Jeff loves to spend money. Anyway, and you and Scott, for $150, a GoFundMe page. Put both of you guys down there, and now think about this. You're down there close to a dugout. Somebody hits a foul ball. The camera pans down there. Let's say the ball hits Jeff's cutout and kind of moves it a little. Oh, I can hear the announcers now. Hey, our guy got injured down there. Make sure that guy gets a free Reds baseball.
What a
the
thing.
The possibilities are endless.
The possibilities are endless.
They are.
Oh, man. Those I tell you, those Major League Baseball people are always thinking, aren't they?
That's right.
You know, teams are paying millions of dollars for players, and now they're begging for $75 to put a cutout in the stands.
That's what they said, Jeff.
Oh, my gosh.
So I thought you had to know that.
Hey, what do you make of high school sports, real quick?
I tell you what. I was a substitute teacher for many years, and a lot of players who let's say weren't eager to be in the classroom and study and get good grades. Well, during football season, they sure were.
Yeah.
And it's not a lie when it says it helps with their character, it helps with discipline. You take that away, and there's a tendency to want to do things they shouldn't be doing.
That's a very good point.
That is a good point. That is a good point. What do you think, and God forbid, we don't want an outbreak, but do you think it's unavoidable at this point?
I think DeWine knows there's going to be, they're going to start the football. There'll probably be, you know, somebody gets it. And how are we going to deal with this? Are we going to be like baseball? Are we going to skip a week and we come back? What are we going to do exactly? I don't see this. I'm like Jeff. I don't see the spring football at all. I also agree that pulling the plug, the Big Ten did, they waited. They should have waited a little bit longer.
You think the Big Ten, that it would have come off okay? Do you think everybody would have been okay to play? Do you think people would have shown up? Do you think it would have been as close to as it was, as close to normal as we can get in these times?
I think it would have been okay, and you're sending a signal. You're a Ohio State football player. You're sitting there, well, the pros are doing it. The high school can do it, but we're college. We can't do it. What is fair about this?
Well, what, you know, and that's the big thing, and we were talking about it in hour number one. How can the colleges say overwhelmingly 10-2, the vote was of 12, the 12 people who were voting, that we're not going to do this, and then we're going to send the high school kids out there? How does that decision get made?
Exactly. There's so many unanswered questions about all of this stuff.
Well, and the fact that the Big Ten announced their schedule, and 6 days later, they canceled the season. There was too much of a rush to judgment, I think, with the Big Ten.
I agree, and especially, and it's also one of those things they probably thought, hey, everybody's going to join the bandwagon, and then all of a sudden, no, everybody didn't join the bandwagon.
Yeah.
Would it have been so awful, though, because this has not been talked about, would it have been so awful in the midst of a pandemic, which apparently we only get every century, would it have been okay just to cancel everything? Would it really have done the world in, sports-wise?
At the higher levels, there's too much money involved, I think, to do that kind of stuff. Maybe in the high school level, maybe a different story, but in one way, it also looks like you're giving in to fear. I mean, it looks like, hey, we got cases. Well, cases don't equal death. Cases don't equal going to the hospital.
Well, you know, here's the thing. In the end result, and again, God forbid, knock on wood, do whatever you got to do. What if a kid dies? I mean, what if a kid dies, and it's all related to high school sports? You know, it's a big deal to play now, and the mindset's great, but, oh, if that awful moment happened, how do you coalesce that?
Well, it's kind of like DeWine's been saying for the last 5 months. He said, well, if we do this, we don't have a good choice. We do that, we don't have a good choice, so... You know, what are we going to do?
Well, here's the thing, and I don't know if you're a Marion person, caller, but, you know, our numbers in Marion are very interesting. We were driven up by a breakout at Community in Heartland in the prison, but outside of prisoners and seniors who are in nursing homes, and not to say that they don't count, but 6 months into this, we've had one death from a person who was not confined to a building. Still, I believe that's right. We've had one death and not a whole lot of hospitalizations.
Yeah.
What if death number two was a kid because they were playing sports? I mean, that's not good.
We would probably freak out.
We probably would. We probably would. And that's what I think everybody cares about. We want kids to play sports. We want kids to have their senior year. I mean, does this mean homecoming is okay? Does this mean, is that all okay now? Can you say you can go out there and play sports every Friday night, but you can't have a homecoming dance?
Well, you know, DeWine didn't address that. Somebody will probably ask him that question next week.
That's right. I'm going to have to go down to one of these
You'll
conferences.
You'll have to go down there, Scott.
I'm going to have to go down there. I got some questions for this. And the mask. We haven't talked. Are they going to have to wear masks? Do the players have to wear masks?
I think Jeff announced, talked about that last time he was on the show. I don't see how they could do that.
Well, if you don't, doesn't it become now impossible that somebody's going to get it?
Oh, I think it's almost a 99% certainty somebody's going to get it.
Well, hey, you've been great this morning, caller. Thank you for listening.
You guys are great. Keep it up.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye. We could start a whole new thing here, Jeff, if you got up before noon every day. Isn't it nice? Last time you were in here, I made this remark, and I think people thought it was facetious, but isn't it fun to take calls?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you should have done this more often. I'm not criticizing you. I'm just saying, you know, it's fun.
You have very good callers.
Yes.
On the rare occasion that I did open up the calls, it seemed like it was only like a couple people that called, and they were always really down. Maybe I didn't ask the right questions.
Well, no,
you have a nice diversity of listeners.
Well, here's the thing about this whole calling thing. I know that the callers know more than I do. I know that they do. And very rarely when I ask a question, do I not get an answer. And that's a nice relationship to have every morning.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's great. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I got a question.
Go ahead.
How are we supposed to build up an immunity to this if we're not never around, if we're not, like, subjecting ourselves to it?
You know, I have not heard that there is such a thing as an immunity. I haven't. I mean, is that a thing with this?
So you can just keep getting it?
Here's what and I'm no doctor, but here's what I've understood about this particular disease different than the flu. Just like you can't build up an immunity to the flu. If you have it once, you're less likely to get it again. And I think that's the same with this, but you got to get it once. I don't know if that's an immunity. I think that's just unfortunate that you got it. The problem with this all lies with what it attacks. It attacks the respiratory system. Flu normally doesn't. That's why pneumonia has always been so dangerous. It's a respiratory illness. You can't breathe, you can't live. And that's why this COVID thing is such a big thing. I don't know that there is such a thing as an immunity, to be honest. Have you heard anything on that level, Jeff?
Not enough to speak to it now.
Yeah. Well, that's my understanding. Again, ask a doctor, but that's my understanding of it.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, my medical degree paid off. No, that's been my understanding. Why it, you know, you can call it flu, you can call it whatever you want. The respiratory disease is what, the respiratory nature of it is why it's so awful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what's killing people. Oh, and by the way, if anybody heard Tracy Kinsler yesterday, I asked her about, because there's this rumor and myth going around now that hospitals are saying people are dying from COVID so they can get money. First of all, she said she knows nothing about why a hospital would get money by saying somebody died of COVID.
I think it was, because I've heard that for a long time. Well, I think it's like $30,000.
Yeah, I asked her that yesterday. She said she knows nothing of that. And also she said it's because COVID is not the death. Because of that respiratory thing, it's respiratory failure. It's maybe they developed pneumonia on top of it. It's maybe they had a pre-existing condition, congestive heart failure. That's what they die of. It's just the COVID thing speeds it along. So that made sense. I thought that was, so that's why on their death certificate, it's saying something other than COVID, because COVID is just the illness that's exacerbating the problem.
Okay.
Which, the Tracy Kinsler answer yesterday. But, you know, I hate to pose this to you, Jeff, as well, but, you know, we have only had one death, to my knowledge, in Marion that wasn't prison or nursing home related. If death number two, God forbid, is an athlete,
mm-hmm.
How is that reacted?
Yeah. And then, obviously, you know, does the state get sued? Does the school get sued? Does the, you know, OHSAA gets sued? There's all kinds of questions out there.
Well, I wonder,
somebody's going to get sued.
Somebody's going to get sued, and that makes me think, are you going to have to sign some kind of waiver to play?
Mm-hmm.
And are you going to sign that waiver in the pandemic?
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people would. It's very strange. It's a very strange thing. And does anybody know the answer to the mask thing? Has anybody heard that? Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott.
Yes.
On the deaths, I really wish the focus would be taken off of the number of deaths. I don't think that's so much the issue anymore. It's what we're learning is the, quote, long haulers, people who get COVID and still have symptoms months later, and they're debilitating symptoms. And the thing is, they don't know if they're permanent. They're not going away. And so I think, you know, instead of focusing on death, people are looking at the stats. We need to really see that people suffer for a long time and possibly indefinitely if they get COVID. So, I mean, as far as the sport, I wish we could just all sit it out. It's just one season. Let's protect everyone. Get everyone safe. I mean, is it worth these people getting COVID and suffering? And I think to me, life trumps money. I understand it's a huge loss of revenue with the sports, but, you know, is it worth people suffering and possibly dying? That's just my opinion.
You have a family member, if I'm not mistaken, who has had this.
We've done so much research.
Yeah, now this is important. Say this again. Talk about, without giving obviously your family member's name, but talk about the age, the condition they were in prior to this, and what it has done to them now. Because I think people don't understand this. We're still talking about families that have not been impacted because they don't know anybody who's had this.
Yes. He actually was a prisoner at Tickaway. He was one of the early ones who got it. He saw men die around him. He knew it was inevitable that he was going to get it. Pretty much everyone there did. He got out shortly after, maybe a month after contracting it. He had to test negative. This is 4 months later. He's an extremely health-conscious person. He's 46, jogger, doesn't eat junk food. He's very health-conscious. And it's the way it debilitates him is that he can't run anymore. He has good days and bad days. I mean, really not good days, but kind of like the norm for him anymore. The breathing gets bad to the point he has to lay flat on his stomach for a while. And sometimes even that doesn't work. Breathing treatments don't work. They think this is more a vascular disease than it is the lungs because it's affecting his brain. He has situations where I can tell he gets really confused. He said it's like his brain is on overdrive, his whole body, and it affects his whole body. It's like drinking, 10 cups of coffee. It's always this really agitated state that he's in. It's very uncomfortable, and there's no cure for it. I mean, he's trying different things. Right now, he belongs to a group we both do of other people who have COVID, so we're learning from each other. But right now, what seems to be helping him is drinking a lot of electrolytes. That's helping. I'm sorry.
No. Just to be clear on this, because I think people need to hear this. This was a man in his mid-40s, health-conscious man, no pre-existing conditions, got COVID. Now, I would assume the COVID itself is probably gone at this point, but what you're talking about are effects from that illness that,
yes.
do the doctors say they're going to be there forever? Is there any chance of clearing these up?
Yeah, they don't know. That's the thing. Even, he's seen a pulmonologist, he's seen vascular doctors, and they just don't know. The virus hasn't been around long enough to really know. These symptoms are ever going to go away, and that's the scary part. And he's not in a situation where he would be able to work right now. So it's, thank goodness for the unemployment, but once that runs out, I'm wondering if he would qualify for disability, or, maybe this will go away. There's so many unknowns.
Before we let you go, caller, I do think that probably the NFL and maybe the Big Ten probably do make decisions based on money to some degree, although we have to give the Big Ten credit for saying they're not going to play, so they're going to lose a lot of money. I don't think high school sports is really based in money. I mean, we're talking about a concession stand. The players are not paid. There's not a huge revenue going on there. There's not television rights or anything like that. Why?
No, though. I think those games generate a lot of revenue for those schools.
But doesn't taking the fans out of the seats kill your main source of revenue in a way?
Yes, definitely.
So why go ahead without that? Because you've already said you can't.
I think it's a no-win situation. You can't really win either way. I think DeWine has kind of come to the conclusion that he's warned everyone, he's kind of left it up to each individual town, school, and hopefully, we don't regret doing what we're going to do.
Boy, let's hope not. Well, thank you for calling and sharing your story.
Yes, thank you, Scott.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. There's a whole nother can of worms, Jeff. I mean, because you go out there and you play high school sports, and then you get this horrible, horrible illness, And maybe you make it through it, but you get long-term effects like that, which we don't hear a whole lot about.
Well, and the person called in last hour about the chain gang, and I know some different people around chain gangs. I know a lot of officials. A lot of the officials, I mean, they're in their 50s or 60s. I know one, and I don't know if he's going to be in the chain gang this year, but he was probably close to 80 and was on the chain gang. And, you know, you're right down there on the field. If you're an official, I mean, you're in the middle. You know, you're putting the football down, marked for play. I mean, you're in the middle of 22 other, you know, kids. And, you know, a lot of the officials, you know, a lot of the coaches, you know, they're in their 40s, 50s.
60s.
Yeah. You know, you're getting up there, and again, you're dealing with kids for an hour and a half, 2 hours, 2.5 hours a day, 5 days a week. You're there on Friday nights. You can look at it from maybe, well, you know, I'm 17, 18 years old. I'm not likely to get it. But, you know, if you're an official and you're 50 years old, you got to be wondering, is it worth it?
Well, and when you look at this big picture, I get why people didn't want it canceled. But if it was canceled, wouldn't this have been a much easier show?
Oh, would have been, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we would have said it's unfortunate. What are people going to do with college perspectives? What are you going to do to stay in shape not playing this season? You know, those would have been some questions we could have went through. This is much more complicated.
Well, I go back and I brought this up last hour. If you're a school, you know, school A, to keep it simple, you have a superintendent or school board, I don't think we should play this fall. Let's put it in the back burner, see what happens in the spring. So you basically cancel the season. Your schedule's already been set. That's going to affect every school that you were going to play during the season. You're going to have other schools, maybe in the same county, that is going to say, well, what's wrong with them? We're going to play. We feel comfortable playing. Why can't they play? And there's going to be a real hesitancy, I think, unfortunately, for some schools that maybe don't want to play, but they're almost going to feel pressured that they do have to play.
We've got 5 districts in this county. Do you believe, and not saying who will and who won't, but do you believe all 5 will play in this fall coming up?
I think they'll all start. I don't think they'll finish. And I'm not sure any of them will finish.
So you think the problem will be once we get out on the field?
I think week 1 or week 2 we'll start seeing cases around the state where teams have been affected, whether it's an outbreak or one person. Then you got a quarantine, you know, you can't play the next week. And again, it's just going to be a domino effect. I really think that.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Remember, if you get the busy signal, it just means we're on the line with somebody else, so keep on trying back, 740-383-9944. Now, yesterday, it wasn't just Governor DeWine. He had Dr. James Borchers, who specializes in sports medicine at the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center. Dr. Borchers said he has a son in high school and said he would be okay with his son playing a contact sport as long as players have constant access to testing, teams strictly follow ODH guidelines, and the community is doing well in limiting the spread of COVID-19. Now, testing. Does that mean every game, before and after? What does that mean?
I think it probably depends on the school. Are schools testing now prior to practice? Are you taking temperatures, you know, every day in practice? I think, again, it comes down to different school districts, even different counties. I mean, you might have a red county, and then next to it is a yellow county, and maybe the schools play each other. If I'm in that yellow county, which is like a level 1, I'm going to look, oh, boy, we got to travel to Marion County, and they're a level 3. You know, how safe is that? They're just for every question you come up with, you think of 10 more questions to ask.
Now, is this, it's an odd comparison, but I'm going to make it because they're running simultaneously. Is this like politics, where obviously debates and conventions and voting are being handled differently, but in a way it's making it more exciting for the news people because they can come in and look, oh, look what changed, and this has never happened before, and it's historic, and so on and so forth. Now, for a sports broadcaster, is this the opening game? You go in and you say, boy, this is historic, and we've never had to call it this way, and or is it just an awful thing you don't even want to be a part of?
Yeah, I from that standpoint, it's like, you know, week one, if you're a local broadcaster, I don't think you really look forward to the start of the season because you just, you're anticipating things to go wrong.
And what do you think is the number one thing that could go wrong? The first problem we're going to see with this whole setup.
Somebody is going to get it, whether it's an individual or a team, and then they're going to have to shut down their season. And then that's going to affect everybody that they were going to play. If it happens on a couple of different teams, I mean, there may be situations where a team is supposed to play six games and then the playoffs, there'll be a lot of teams that don't get six games in.
Well, and again, we alluded to it. What does the championship mean at this point? When you've got teams that aren't competing, when you've got teams that may have to quarantine, when you've got game weeks that are going to be bye weeks because that county has said we're not going to do this, what does it mean if you're the champion this year?
Well, you look at the World Series. I mean, you go from a 162-game schedule to 60 games. You got, like, what, St. Louis, it's played like six games, and other teams have played 20-plus. You know, not everybody's going to play the same amount of games. So, yeah, there may be a winner, but it's not going to feel like, you know, it did when the Cubs won the World Series or the Reds won the World Series. It's just going to be a different feel.
Now, this was an interesting quote from the press conference yesterday. This is from the governor. I hope that the desire to have a season will inspire our young people, our student athletes 24/7, to be as careful as they can. If it goes off the rails, don't doubt that we'll step in.
We'll shut it down, yeah. Yeah. And that's where you're going to have to, you know, have somebody there, whether it's one person or a couple people, to enforce. And how much leeway, you know, if you're an athletic director, you got a lot of things to worry about. You know, how much leeway do you leave somebody to say, okay, somebody's only 4 foot apart? Does that, you know, does somebody have to go down in the stands and say, hey, you got to move 2 feet to the right to keep your 6 foot? There's just, again, so many different questions out there.
You know, one of our listeners just sent us here, I'm getting a message, the Ohio High School, okay, here it is, Ohio High School Athletic Association updated Tuesday, August 18th. I guess, are these the guidelines? I think is what it is. These are interesting, you know, capacity limitations, student dressing, for contest limitations, ban restrictions. Boy, oh boy, there's a lot of stuff here. Can kids be expected to learn all this? If I'd have gotten this, seen this during the break, I would have printed it off.
But like with the band, I mean, you know, if you're in a marching band, same thing like football. I mean, you're marching very close together.
Well,
plus, if you play the trumpet or the trombone or whatever instrument, I mean, you're, you know, spewing air.
Well, do they have to wear masks? I don't think a band person could wear a mask, but could a cheerleader?
You know, a little tough to play the trumpet if you're wearing a mask.
I don't know. You know, I don't know how you could not make a player wear a mask. I don't know, because if you would let them go out there without masks, there really is no protection. Zero.
Yeah.
Now, if you're wearing a mask, the common wisdom is you can't pass it along to somebody else. So there's that.
But then, of course, you look at DeWine, you know, and he tested positive, and of course, it came back the negative. And again, that's again part of the whole issue is what happens if somebody tests positive? Do you shut everything down? And then, you know, a day or two later, you test negative. They test them again, test negative. You know, again, that's just another fly in the ointment.
And it does become that. At what point do we have to, as a caller said this morning, put health over sports? I mean, when are we going to hit that point? And if there is an outbreak, how do the schools treat that? You know, I don't know. I'm still wondering, just in a regular school day, if somebody gets sick at school, a school, and give me a second, a school is like a prison in that there are a lot of people in a confined area. If you test positive, how could you possibly name everybody you've been in contact with in the last 48 hours? It would be impossible, especially if you're in high school and you're changing classes every 40 minutes. How could you possibly? That would take out all your teachers. That would take out every class with every student you're in. Does everybody just stay home? These schools are going to be empty in a month. I don't know how this is done. And is it a rule? Do you have to quarantine if you get ill? And if you come in contact with somebody who has had it, do you have to quarantine?
I don't have all the answers.
I know, I don't understand. I just don't understand a great deal of these rules. Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott. Hi, Mr. Sports. I sent you the COVID from Ohio High School.
Yes, and that was just updated yesterday.
Yes.
What are the big revelations to you?
New revelations, not much other than bands can only perform at home games, and they aren't requiring student-athletes to have the COVID test before participation, but everything seems to be left up to the local school district. So you may have, River Valley may require it, but Harding doesn't. So there's a lot of latitude as far as testing outside of these regulations.
So ball
people, like for football, and I would imagine the chain gang that Jeff was mentioning, they would have to be required to wear masks. Anybody that's not in the contest at the time on the sideline touchline would have to wear a mask. So there's nothing really new per se in there.
So,
but it's inevitable they're going to have outbreaks.
Yeah. So bands then are not allowed to travel to away games then.
Correct.
Okay.
And that's in there.
Okay.
And also in that what I sent you, there's some links to specific sports like football and soccer.
And testing is not mandatory.
It's not mandatory as far as I can interpret all that.
That's interesting. And do we know anything about players wearing masks? I guess not.
If they're not in the contest at the time, they're supposed to be wearing it, and they're on the sidelines, and they are supposed to have safe distancing. But if you're on the sideline and the defensive coach wants you to, a secondary coach, assuming you have a specialty coach, I would assume they would have masks on, but they wouldn't be practicing social distancing. DeWine is supposed to have come out with some kind of revelation on his own. This, what I sent you, is what Ohio High School sent out yesterday.
Do you believe the governor's rules are going to be more strict?
I doubt it. I think what they're doing is they're punting the ball, excuse the pun, and allowing it, leaving it up to the locals. So the government doesn't get involved, and they probably shouldn't. The locals know their districts, and like the five here in Marion County are different than, say, the Big Ten. The Big Ten, you're bringing people in from different states, including the state of confusion.
Yeah.
But
what do you
think? Football.
Should they have played, I guess, is the bottom line, in your opinion?
For Ohio High School or for
yeah, high school. High school.
High school, I think they're going to be okay. I think what the gentleman substitute teacher was alluding to before, it gives some direction to the kids. It gives them something to do positively rather than trying to come up with things on their own. And that seems to be where the problems are coming from. They had four student athletes that I think it was Olentangy Orange that got together and came down with that. I want to say volleyball, maybe.
Yeah, it was the volleyball.
And that's where you're getting into trouble. You have groups of kids that are meeting outside of the sports environment. Sports environment, they're clamping down. The coaches can only do so much, but they can't hold the kid's hand when they go home. And that may also include the parents. The parents may not be there because they're at work. So there's a free time when they're not in school and not at practice or not involved in an event.
It's going to be interesting. Thank you for calling.
Okie-dokie.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And we got a message here on Facebook. Let the boys play. The boys need football. So there you go, and that's the feeling of a lot of people. But according to our last caller, no mandatory testing before the games, and the bands only play at home games, not away games. But the governor does have some rules, I guess, that he's going to heap on top of this, but we don't know what those rules are. And maybe they won't be strict. I don't know.
And you look, are they going to allow band competitions? I mean, you look at, you know, Harding or River Valley or some of those schools. I mean, it's about every weekend, you know, they're going to some kind of a band competition. Can you do that? If you can play football, can you go to band competitions? I don't know.
Well, and who is going to answer these questions? Every time we say, I don't know this morning, we've got, what, a week and a half? Who's going to answer them in that week and a half? Somebody's got to.
Yeah.
Who will it be? Who gets the definitive answer on this? Is it the governor's office? Is it the school itself? I don't know. It's very strange that they would not require testing before the game.
Say it comes down to the school. Is it up to the principal? Is it up to the superintendent? Is it up to the school board? Maybe the superintendent doesn't want to play. Does that mean the school board steps in and they vote 3-2 in favor of playing football or not playing football? How much input does the athletic director have? How much does the football coach? You know, maybe the coach and the players, they all want to play, but the athletic director and the superintendent say, I don't think it's a good idea. You're going to have friction on all sorts of different fronts.
A lot of friction.
Yeah.
And I don't, and I'm not saying anything with Marion City, but it was all on the air here when we had Dr. Arusi on. He seemed to say that he did not think it certainly was going to be a typical football Friday night. I don't know ultimately what that means. The mayor said that when he was on last week. So long term, I don't know. Go ahead, caller.
All right. This is just a quick follow-up call. Regarding the testing, part of that is financial, that the school districts would have to pay for the testing for all their student athletes, and I don't know that too many high schools can afford it. And also the thing on the bands, the Marion Star had an article a week or two ago about the local bands, and I think it was Jason Frank from Pleasant did the best quotes in the article about distancing and what they have to do. So if anybody knows Jason, have them contact him and have him call in, because he seems to be on top of the marching band situation.
That's interesting. Well, thank you.
All right, bye.
And again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. It's definitely a big swirl, and it comes down to what is going to happen, as you said, in those first few weeks of the season.
And I can see a lot of issues just between now and next week where schools are going to backtrack. Some schools are going to say, we don't want to play in the fall. And then what kind of repercussions are you going to get, you know, from members of the same league? Say the MOAC, say half the schools want to play in the fall, half want to play in the spring. You know, what do you do? Does that mean you only play three games instead of six?
Well, and is spring the idea that this will be over by then?
I think it's just, again, putting it back, moving it back, and seeing what happens.
But what? Okay, if it's, we play baseball in the spring,
yeah.
So what do you do with the baseball schedule and the football schedule?
And there had been some talk this summer about flipping and having baseball played in the fall and playing football in the spring. Well, a lot of players for football and baseball, they play both. You can't very well, you know, play baseball and football. I suppose, you know, there are some athletes that in the spring will maybe do baseball and then track and field or something like that. But it's just, yeah, the whole spring season, nobody knows. And same thing for winter season.
The first time the reports come in that people aren't social distancing and they aren't following the guidelines.
And you know there's going to be pictures
all
over the place. Absolutely, yeah.
So the first time that happens, does the governor just walk in that Tuesday and say, we're done? Then what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all that preparation goes down the drain. I don't know. It's just, it's the most bizarre situation, because how can you turn around and say, well, we're going to play this, we've got to do this for people's mental health, but we can't test everybody because it's a financial issue? I mean, doesn't that in itself become a problem? I would think that somebody would, I don't know. It's a mess. It's a messy, messy situation, and it's going to lead to some interesting things next Friday night. Now, we don't know when people can get in the games. We don't really know how the tickets will be distributed. Maybe that'll be done school to school.
Yeah, that will be done school to school, I'm sure.
And we don't know exactly what a game will look like. Now, no rules were altered like baseball, right? Is that my understanding so far? The rules of the game have not been altered.
Right. Now, they're going to shorten the halftime, supposedly. Again, this was a few weeks ago, from 20 minutes to 10 minutes. They were, instead of having a minute timeouts, they were going to do two-minute timeouts. So a few things like that. They were going to extend the sideline where, you know, players could spread out more on each side. But as far as the rules, I mean, a touchdown is still 6 points, and, you know, first down is still 10 yards and that sort of thing.
Now, how does that help? How does shortening the halftime help something?
I don't know.
Yeah, because
they were talking about teams having to stay out on the field. There's some coaches that go into the locker room at halftime, and they do a lot of their halftime adjustments at halftime. Obviously, you may not want to do some of those adjustments right in front of your fans. Let's say to get the necessary message across that you got to play better.
Is that called an adjustment?
That's an adjustment.
Okay.
But, you know, like only one person going out to midfield to start the game for the coin toss, instead of having, you know, maybe three or four captains, you're limited to one. No post-game handshake, game's over, you know, you leave. So a lot of those kind of things have changed.
Do you think we'll still have the fireworks? That's a big thing over in the Harding area.
Sure it is. I'm guessing that we'll have fireworks at Harding.
Well, that'll pep up for lack of fans, I guess, that will be there. How many people do you think you can put in one of these stadiums if you're 6 feet social distancing?
Never really thought about that. Harding, you could put 500 fans in at Harding. I think quite easily.
And how big is a press box? Not very big.
Yeah.
How big is a press box? 18 feet across? 20?
Harding is two-tiered, and Harding always had, they at halftime always had Buffalo Wild Wings, you know, bring in food. Probably can't do that anymore.
There was a lot of people in that press box.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, how do you decide who gets credentials and who does not?
Yeah.
You know, I would think that would be a hard...
It's going to be up to the athletic director, yeah.
Because you have the visiting school and you have the home school, but there's different media in those areas, and I would think, will newspaper take precedent over radio because people want to see their kid's name in the newspaper, and maybe it will.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Now, like, if you have River Valley Harding... that might not be an issue, but say Harding hosts Galleon, they're going to bring their own newspaper reporter, a couple of reporters possibly. Galleon will have their radio station. So again, you're just going to be piling people on top of each other.
And we really don't know yet, as the one caller said, what this disease does. It's not just life or death. Apparently, there are long-term issues that can affect your health for the rest of your life. And when you're 16, 17, 18 years old, that's a long life you've got ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what are the grandparents? You know, what do they think? What do the parents think? It seems to be, isn't it interesting, because what we seem to hear is the parents push this. That's what we keep hearing, kind of from the governor, kind of from the... What do you think it was that the parents said, we have got to have this done? And it's been football. I mean, we're not having this discussion over volleyball, really. What was it? What happened there?
I don't have an answer for that.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. I don't have an answer for that.
Is it scholarships? Is it we want pictures of our son? Is it I don't know what that is. It's, you know, not that you shouldn't push your kid to play, but it's interesting that the parents seem to drive the high school one, the high school to play. In the Big Ten, it was the presidents of these schools. They made the decision. The NFL, I'm sure it was the Players Association, and it was the people who own the teams. But in high school, I did not hear a whole lot about the schools saying, we've got to play, we've got to play. They keep talking about the parents. The parents wanted the kids to play. I think that's an interesting effect of this.
You know, if the schools found out yesterday there would not be high school football, that would answer a lot of questions. Now that there is high school football, again, you have all those questions. How many fans are we allowed in? Are we going to have a concession stand? How many people are going to be allowed in the press box? You know, what kind of protocols do we have before a game? Do we test before a game? Do we test before practice? There are just so many questions out there.
More questions than answers.
This is one of those situations. There's a lot more questions than there are answers.
I guess we'll find out more as the next week and a half goes along, but that's exactly what you've got. You've got about 10 days to figure it out, because they're going to be out there. And can anybody possibly learn all these rules in 10 days that are going to go on? And what will go wrong that first week? We don't know. We hope it all goes smooth, but I guess that's the way it is now.
Yep.
Glenn Coble and I coming up here for the next 2 hours on the Air. Jeff Ruth was the guest this morning, Sports Director Emeritus here in Marion. Jeff, thanks for coming in, as always.
I appreciate the invitation. I think we left probably a lot of questions out there on the table, but thank you for the invite.
Absolutely. We'll be back in exactly 10 minutes.
That the Lord up there, he calls you when he needs you.
Is there a
role? And he says, I don't want you, Fivers. I got better acts than you upstairs. He says, I'll cork and see. I get time.